John chapter 6, the Gospel of John chapter 6, story of our Lord coming to his disciples who were going through deep, deep waters. Our Lord had just, this is all connected. Our Lord had just fed the 5,000, 10,000 or more. And in verse 14 and 15, look at this again. Those men that saw the miracle that Jesus did, they said, "This is of a truth, that prophet that should come into the world." But when Jesus therefore perceived they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed. He left. Again, he did this. Often, he often was in a crowd of people and he left. And he went up into a mountain. He did this again. He was always going up into a mountain. And this time he went up there alone. They wanted to make our Lord king. What they wanted was an earthly kingdom. That's what they wanted. The Jews wanted an earthly kingdom. They wanted a wealthy, prosperous nation. God bless Israel, you know. They would have had stickers all over their chariots. God bless Israel. Like today. God bless America. What do people mean by that? I mean, give us everything we want. Don't give us any trouble. Make us wealthy and prosperous and no enemies and all of that. But that's health and wealth gospel. It's a lie. The greatest thing that God could do to this nation is bring it down. They want to make Jesus Lord. Make Jesus King. All's going to be well. And the Lord departed. He was not in the middle of that. He was not in the middle of all those people who wanted to make him Lord. Are you with me? And he's not in religion. Anybody, anywhere, I don't care who it is, anybody who says, "Make Jesus Lord," doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ. You hear me? These people didn't know who he was. His disciples did. His disciples, he kept showing them over and over who he was. He's going to show them again here real soon who he is. Make him Lord. See, God made him so. Long before this world began, God made him Lord. Psalm 2, I've declared the decree. I've set my king on my holy hill of Zion. Now he said, bow. Everyone bow. And then he was born king. Some people knew that. You don't make a king a king. You don't vote a king a king. He's born that way, right? It's his right. It's his birthright. All right, our Lord was born king. He was king before he came here. And when he came here, he was born king and he died a king. He lived as a king, reigned as a king, and then he died as a king. He put it on his, and you know where he is now? Reigning as king. See, always has been king, always was king, always will be king, you see. Lord over all. We don't make him anything. We don't let him do anything. I keep saying this over and over again. You know it so much. Why do you know that? Because he's revealed himself to you in these ways, like same as them. So he departed and went up into a mountain again. He was often in a mountain. I read to you how that he went up. Well, this same chapter in verse 3. Look at it. Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And he went up into a mountain again. He's always going up into a mountain. He was transfigured. He took three of them up onto a mountain and was transfigured before their eyes. He was revealed to them in a mountain who he really is. Not just Jesus. This is God who dwelleth in light. No man can approach unto him. And then when he left this pit called planet Earth, He went up on a mountain in Galilee. He said, I'm going before you. And he went, they took all of them. Jeanette, he took all of them up onto a mountain. High above this place. Like Abraham dwelt in the mountain and Lot was down in Sodom. And he took them up on the mountain and that's where he ascended in the cloud. They saw him. He went higher than that mountain. He went all the way to the right hand of the Majesty on high. There he sits above it all. Reigns and ruled. Departed into a mountain. What does this mountain represent? Mount Zion. He's known in Mount Zion. He's seen at Mount Zion. Jerusalem was a city set on a hill. You had to go up. Church, that's where God be. You can't separate Christ and His church. Wherever they are, He is. Where He is, they are. Christ and His church. Husband and wife. Right? But you can't say one without the other. That's who He came for. That's who He lived for. That's who He died for. That's and vice versa. Husband and wife. You know, we think of each other. When you think of each other like John Davis. Don't you automatically think of Irene? John Irene. Sounds like one word. John Irene. Ed Jeanette. Ron Tammy. Ed Deborah. Wesley Melvin. It's just like one word. You can't think of one without the other. Christ came, He lived and died and loved His church. And they do too. Where is He? He's with His church. He's in His garden. He's in His garden. Where is He? He's on the mountain. That's where they are. They're with Him. Where they want to be. But this time He went up there alone. Okay? He went there alone. He was often alone. Got to Himself. Far from the maddening crowd, the old saying is. Away from the noisome pestilence. Out of the midst of it. When He healed the blind man, He took him out of the crowd. Said, come with me out of all this stuff, these people. When He healed the deaf man, He said, come with me out from amongst them. You've got to quit listening to all them. You're going to hear me. Alone. Alone's a good place to be. But our Lord wasn't alone. He was alone, but He sure wasn't lonely. Except on the cross. One time on this earth, He was alone, and that was on Calvary's tree on the cross when God forsook it. And He cried with every fiber of His being, oh my God, I'm alone. That's hell. This is vital thing. It's a needful thing for us to be alone. And God in His providence often makes it so. Psalm 4:4 says, stand in awe and sin not. Commune with thine heart on thy bed and be still. Nighttime on your bed, you're pretty much alone. And what does He say? Commune with your heart. It's a time to think. Most people don't think much. Time to meditate. Time to examine yourself. Feel you be of the faith. The world can't stand to be alone. People can't stand to be alone. You know that? Can't stand silence. Got to have something on, TV or something blaring all the time. Can't stand to be alone. Why? Conscience. Conscience, Mother. And God said, no peace. I'm not going to let them have any peace of conscience as long as they're against me. Boy, you find out God's for you. You're going to have peace of conscience. The world can't stand it. But if you're not of this world, you love it. Some silence. Alone. With the Lord. Our Lord was calling, Matthew and Mark says, He to pray. He went up there to pray. Went up there alone. You know, when we talked about public prayer, meaning in the church. Isn't that a blessing? John's prayer, a blessing. Whenever someone leads in prayer and the Lord blesses, and you're able to enter in, isn't it a blessing? He says things you wish you could say, or the things you're feeling, and you're just so blessed by it. This is the greatest blessing, it really is. Because we all feel so helpless in private prayer, don't we? We do. Feel like we're just saying the same things over and over again, don't we, in prayer? And so many things distract us. And the Lord just uses this to bring us together, to focus our attention. There's no distraction. And we hear and we enter into that prayer. It's wonderful. But still, this doesn't replace private prayer. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. When? All the time. Our Lord said, pray without ceasing. He did. Now listen to me. This is he who, known unto him are all his works from the beginning of the world. Known exactly what he's going to do and what everyone else is going to do. Because he's the doer of it. You hear me? This is the one controlling all things. Yet he's praying. If he prayed, knowing all things, and we don't know anything. We don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't know what we're going to do. We don't know what. How much more should we pray? Without ceasing. Lord, don't let me take a step without you. Without you, I can do nothing. Help me. That's a good prayer all the time. Help. Prayer. So he departed up into a mountain. And I believe, this is just a good type. He went up into this mountain to give him a better vantage point of his disciples down there in that sea. Not really. He saw them all the time in the dark or whatever. It's all like that. But this is a good picture, isn't it? He's up on the mountain and they're down in the sea now, tossed and turning. Think they're all going to die and drown. But he's watching. Where is our Lord right now? You can't see him, can you? They couldn't see. Where is he right now? Where is he? Sitting on the circle of the earth. Say, preacher, don't shout. Yes! He's sitting on the circle of the earth. You hear that? Look at us down here in the pit. He sees us. He's going to bring us out. He's the one to put us in it. He's going to bring us out. This is a good message. If it's not to you, I heard another fellow preach it. Ask me later, I'll give you that one. But this is a good story. Because this is all of us. Matthew and Mark's gospel say, look at verse 16. When evening was come, now come, his disciples went down into the sea and entered into a ship. Matthew and Mark's gospel say he constrained them to get in a ship. Matthew, Levi, James, John, get in that ship. What ship? That one right there. That's the one I've chosen for you to be in. James, John, Simon, get in that ship. All of you, get in that ship. Fellas, get in that ship. He constrained them. I'm so glad the Lord constrained me. The love of Christ constrains us. Constrained means compelled. Constrains means to cause. Blessed is the man thou choosest causes. We prayed that. We always prayed that. Causes to approach unto that. And he puts his people in a fellowship. Church. Kingdom of God. Church. Little ships. One time, said there were little ships all in that harbor. It's like churches. It's amiable tabernacles. Once again, the ship, you can't, where they are, that's where he is. He was always in a ship with them. It's a good illustration, a wonderful picture of the church and Christ together. He constrained them to get in the ship. Oh, I'm thankful the Lord put me in this ship. Aren't you? I wouldn't want to be anywhere else right now. Fellowship, put me in Christ. Put me in the ark of Christ. Put me in his ship, his church, where our rest is. A ship by definition, is a seagoing vessel. A boat is not a seagoing vessel. Okay? A boat, like a canoe or a fishing boat or a John boat, it's not a seagoing vessel. A boat is mostly recreational. A boat is for show, especially if you've got a big bass boat. Look at my boat. Well, it's worthless in heavy seas. A boat, and this describes most religion, it's recreational and it's for show. And religion says God doesn't want bad things to happen to you. God doesn't want you to go through those things. God doesn't want this to happen. No, 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 no. You got it all wrong. This is the captain of our salvation. And he put them right into the eye of a storm. He did it. Put them in a ship. Deep waters. Well, they're at their wits' end. And they know if they don't drown, it's going to be the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now, see how this all started? We're going to make him king. You're going to find out he's king, all right. Bless God we find out sooner than later. And the way we find out is just like his disciples. He's going to put us in a ship. He's going to bring us down. Down. Damn, or you think you're going to drown and die. And that's when he's going to come walking on the water. We read that. Go back there again. Psalm 107. I was wondering, are you listening to this? Am I listening to this? Psalm 107. Look at that. They went down. It says, they entered in a ship. They went down unto the sea. Down. You know, Isaiah, all through Isaiah, our Lord keeps saying, the lofty looks of man are going to be brought down. The haughtiness of men is going to be brought down. The Lord alone is going to be exalted in that day. He told his people, enter into the rock and hide in the dust for fear of the Lord. Because he's going to bring this thing down. He's going to bring everybody down. And bless God, this is what he does to his people. He brings us down. Right now. In this world. To see that salvation is of the Lord. Like old Jonah. The whole story of Jonah is a picture of Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's why it happened. That he came down. And went through hell for our people. And we wouldn't live if he didn't. If Christ hadn't gotten this ship, they would have died. Christ said to walk on that water above this world, we would drown in it. Psalm 107 says, verse 23, they that go down to the sea in ships, you see, they do business in great waters, deep waters, unfathomable waters, unnavigable waters. These men had been through storms before, and they'd weathered those storms. Before they knew the Lord, they'd been through storms. And they thought their skill and their ability to sail, the wind blows where it is. We're going to see in a minute. It was totally contrary to them. They didn't know where they were going. Read verse 24. For these see the works of the Lord, his wonders in the deep. So he's the one that commands all this. He's the one that sends all this. But as I said, now, an earthly captain, Mike, an earthly captain, if he was any captain at all, he's not going to send his boat through the middle of a hurricane. What's he going to do? He's going to go around it. He did. Christ did. He had to go right into the eye of a hurricane, right there. Why? You know, a boat may seem like a nice boat when it's on a farm pond. What a nice boat you have there. Or even a ship, you know, a cruise ship, you know. By the way, a ship is for long voyages. A ship is for many passengers. A ship is an ocean going in deep waters, not a boat. But a big ship can be sitting there at harbor and you say, whoa, what a beautiful ship. We'll see. Oh, look at the Titanic. Oh, it's beautiful, the Titanic. And then the man said, it's the greatest ship ever built. It can't sink. And then when God had a man build an ark, the whole world came by and scoffed. It won't float. Which one did? Huh? Where am I? Ship. Ship. It says that the evening was come, the disciples went down into sea in a ship, and our Lord purposely put them through the eye of a storm, number one, to show His power. He's the one that raised this. He's the one that did all this. And He's the only one that could bring them out of it. All right? To show them their unbelief. You know, this is not the first storm He was with them in. This is the second. You remember the first one? They were in a boat, a ship, together. He's asleep. He's asleep. And they're rowing and doing everything they can. And they're so full of unbelief. And when He woke up and told them, where's your faith? Didn't He? And they woke up and they said, ignorantly, like little children, don't you care that we perish? He's the one that raises a storm. Care. They're the ones He came and He cared for. He's the one that put them through this storm. He did it all for His glory and for their good, to show them, you're so full of unbelief. You're so weak. After all I've shown you, don't you believe me now? No. Storm after storm after storm. It's us, isn't it? To increase their faith. To increase their faith. Simon Peter was there all the time. And he wrote in his epistle that the trial of our faith worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. First storm they went through, they all thought they were going to die. Don't you care, Lord? Don't you care? And He stilled that, the winds and the waves. So where's your faith? And they all took, what manner of man is this? We'll never doubt Him again. Never, never doubt Him again, ever. It wasn't 24 hours. But. And then right before this, Philip said, there's not enough money to feed all these people. Where are we going? And Matthew's gospel said they forgot after this storm. It says they forgot the loaves and the fishes after the storm. They forgot. He fed all these 5,000, a miracle. He brought them through the first storm. He brought them through another storm. And they still didn't trust Him and believe Him. You know, we're saved by hope. And hope that is seen is not hope. But the trial of our faith, or patience, experience, and hope. Heaviness, Peter said, the heavy trials. They all went through heavy seas. They all went through heavy sea. Every one of them. Every one of His disciples went through these heavy seas. Together. That's why they were in the ship. The fellowship. Now, Peter talked about the fellowship of His suffering. How we need to enter into the fellowship of Christ's suffering. The fellowship of the gospel. Here's suffering. And the Lord said, behold, see if there's any sorrow like unto my son. Any suffering like unto my son. No. Nobody suffered like you. He came down into this pit to deliver us from the pit. He was the ransom. He came down into this slime pit. He came down into this pit of corruption, this present evil world. Why? To take on Him the iniquity of us all. God put on Him the iniquity of all His people, to make Him to be sin. Cover Him in that slime pit with His own blood and bring them out. He's the ransom, you see. He's made sin while we're made righteous. God punished Him while God rewards us for what He did. Have you entered into the fellowship of that suffering? Huh? All of God's people see His suffering because of our sin.
And that's why they give him all the glory for all things.
And then Paul wrote, it's given unto us not only to believe, but to suffer for Christ's sake. My dad used to say this all the time. He said, God had one son without sin, but no sons without suffering. None. And it's these sufferings are show them His power, His glory, the one who sent it, the one who gives it, the one who takes it away, to show them their unbelief and their weakness. He's only strong when we're what? We'll only really call on Him when we're at our wit's end. Right? When we realize, when we strike sail and quit rowing, and we think, I'm going down. Now you're going to call. Like Psalm 107, now you're really going to call. And you know what He's going to do? Every time. Brother Kelly, was there one time that they called and He didn't answer? No. Oh, we would praise the Lord if He's good. To the praise of the glory of His grace. And as a witness to the world, if He allows us to bear witness through these trials, Job. Job's the one that said that. The Lord gave him all of them. I didn't deserve any of them. He gave it to him. And the Lord took it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. His wife said, why don't you curse God and die? He said, you're a foolish woman is what you are. Have we received good at the hands of the Lord? And shall we not receive evil also? Eli said it. It's the Lord. Let Him do what He thinks good. Oh, may I say that. May we say that. Some of you have. Many of you have. Most of you have. Brother Scott one time said, Brother Scott Richardson one time said, every believer is going to have one great opportunity to really bear witness of the grace of God. Most of the time we fail. Oh, my. And it's going to be to the praise of the glory of His grace. You know that? Every one of these disciples, when they landed on shore, you know what they're talking about? When they got to their desired haven, every one of them, you know what they're saying? The Lord
did great things for us. The Lord saved us. The Lord did this. The Lord did that. You know this, Lord. All their fellow sailors. To wean us from this world. And to help each other. Did you read the article by my pastor? Did you? Man. It's to help each other. We're in this ship. Fellowship. Help each other. Pity each other. Pray for each other. Hey, look at our text. So they went in the ship. It was now dark. And the Lord wasn't come to them. It was now dark. Heavy seas. Deep. Dark. Why is it that all things seem worse at nighttime? They do know that. You have a sick loved one, a child or spouse or somebody, in your own sickness, it seems worse at night, the darkness. You think the night's never going to end. Time goes, just stops. Everything seems worse at night. This is why David wrote in Psalm 130, Before that, he said, out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. That's Christ from the cross, and that's God's people in this world. Out of the depths. And David went on to say, my soul waiteth for thee more than they that watch for the morning. At nighttime, in the dark, everything seems hopeless. Sin. put a dark cloud over your head. Well, sin will leave you feeling that you're in outer darkness. Sin will be a heavy burden for you. Sin will give you a sinking feeling. You ever been there? Sorrow. Sorrow. If the Lord doesn't come to us and help us, we'll drown in overmuch sorrow. You ever watered your bed with tears? You thought whatever sorrow you were going through is going to, you're going to just not, can't endure it. Sorrow. We're down in heavy seas, in the darkness. And he was not come to them. He was not come to them. Verse 17, he was not come to them. In verse 18, the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. This wind raised the stormy sea, like it said in Psalm 107. And the wind and the waves were boisterous against them. Contrary wind is what Matthew and Mark said. Contrary wind. Brothers and sisters, the wind bloweth where it listeth. And the Lord is the one that sends these, raises these stormy winds. And it's never contrary to you. They thought it was, but no, it's never contrary to you. Stormy wind. The Lord is the one. Nothing more sovereign than the wind. Nothing more at the mercy of the wind than a sailing vessel. And that's us. Completely at the mercy of the Lord. And the winds he sends, and the trials and the troubles, and whatever it is he sends, he sent it to every one of his people at different times. They're all going to go through heavy seas, dark times, heavy seas. And Psalm 107 says they mount up to the heavens on the mountain, and they're crashing down. They were just up, listen to me, they were just up on the mountain eating, drinking, laughing, sitting, resting, just at peace, didn't have a care in the world. 24 hours later, they don't know if they're coming out of this. Is that you? It's the life of a believer. Up, down. Hot, cold. Saved, I'm lost. Light, I'm in darkness, even as others. Is it so with you? Remember Brother Tommy's message on priorities, lukewarmness? That's a dangerous place to be. Because we need to be brought down, because only when we're at our wit's end. It's true. We don't worship him. We just don't worship him, do we? Until he puts us through some trouble. The sea arose, the Lord, and it wasn't contrary to them. Old Jacob said this. Jacob said, he came and Joseph, I love you. Joseph was on the throne. Jacob didn't know it. Okay? He thought Joseph was dead. No, he's alive. He's running. He's controlling everything about Jacob. And he kept Benjamin. You know, son with a silver sack, you know, silver in his sack. And Jacob said, everything's against me. That's what Jacob said. It's all against me. That man on the throne is going to kill us all. No, he's not. You're going to live because of him. Jacob, hang on. Naomi. Naomi came back with nothing and nobody. She said, the Lord is against me. No, Naomi, everything he did was for you. Are you with me? Everything. He took your husband. It's for you. He took your sons. It's for you. Everything works together for God's people. According to his purpose. We just don't know it yet. We will. When we reach our desired haven, I bet they were all standing on that shore. Hallelujah. You know they were. They hadn't sung like that in a long time, buddy. But after going through those deep waters, they're singing at the top of their lungs. They struck sail. Means they took the sail down. That's not doing any good. It's against them. They started rowing. They start rowing in our text. It says they rowed. Have you ever rowed a boat? Karen, have you ever? Mike showed me that video of you learning how to row their boat. Okay. It's hard. Don't laugh. Put you in one. Oars. I'm talking about oars. You won't be able to go to your left or your right. You'll be pulled right and wrong. You'll be pulling and pushing. You won't know. Rowing is pulling. Always pulling. And you're going backwards. Now you're going forward. But they're all rowing, you say. Here's the point. They're all rowing. And if you've never rowed a boat, you need to. And they were rowing in 10-foot seas. Michael, they were in 10-foot seas. You ever rowed a boat in 10-foot seas? It's hopeless. You're not going to get anywhere. You just might as well quit rowing. And about the time, they quit rowing when the Lord came. And what a picture this is. We labor. People are laboring to get to heaven. When you quit rowing, we quit laboring. When you, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, Christ said, I'll give you rest. Stop rowing. I'm here. I'm going to take you there. You're not going to get yourself there. I'm going to take you there. Isn't that a good picture? Tell you what else this is a picture of. They're all rowing together. They're all in this ship together. They all have a vested interest in this ship getting to land. They all want... It's not every man for himself. Oh, no, no, no. It's every man for that ship. You hear me? They all wanted to live. They all wanted that ship to survive. You want this ship to survive? Do you need it? Huh? You know what? If we're not rowing together, we're against each other. If you're not bearing one another's burdens, you know what? You're being a burden. If you're not caring for one another, you're being cared for. If you're not for us, you're against us. If you're not praying for the preacher, you're probably talking about him. If you're not helping, you're hurting. If you're not making peace, you're making trouble. But so, if we're not in unity of the Spirit, we're grieving the Spirit. We're in this ship together. You want it to survive? I believe some people would like to see this place fold. I don't. I can get a job somewhere, probably. I don't need a job on Social Security. I need this place. I need you. We need Christ. We need each other. Don't we? We need to labor together. We need to strive together, not against one another. Strive together. One mind, one accord, one spirit. Striving together for the faith of the gospel. Unity of the Spirit. There's some people that don't know the Lord in this town. Some sitting in this room right now. And I'm the preacher. Pray for me. They were rowing. They were rowing to a man. They were together, going through these deep seas. Now look at this. I close. It says in verse 19, when they rowed about 5 and 20 or 34 furlong, that's 3.5 miles, you know, they rowed for 9 hours in 10-foot seas, 3.5 miles. And they drew nine, and it says the fourth watch in Matthew's Gospel, the fourth watch between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. I remember I worked on the railroad and had to stay awake is one of the most brutal things I know of. Not having rest. And what a good picture this is. You can't sleep, you want to sleep, you can't find rest, and you got to stay awake and watch. It's just miserable. It's just so hard. And the sun comes up. You just, all of a sudden you're rejuvenated. But our Lord, here's what happened. Between 3 a.m., 6 a.m., all night long, they're rowing. And they see him walking on the water. Right, the sun's starting to come up. Isn't that fitting? sun has risen with healing in his hand. He saw them. He put him through all of this. Put them all through this. And he saw what was going on. And just when they were at their wits' end, just when they couldn't row any further, just when they all thought, to a man, we're going down, we're all going to drown, here he comes. He's with them all along. He had his eye on them all along. But they needed to go through that, didn't they? Were they calling on him? You reckon they were calling on him? I imagine each one of them thought, where is he? Why did he leave us like this? Where is he when we need him the most? Huh? Oh, he's put you through this. They said they saw him walking on the sea. Our Lord said, you must through much tribulation, deep waters, troubles, trials, tribulation, go through this world. And you must through much tribulation enter the kingdom of heaven. One time he said, in the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome this world. This world that threatens to drown us. This world that is drowning the Egyptian. This world, all of us are passing through the Red Sea. Hebrews 11. Every one of us has to pass through this world. And the Egyptians are going to drown. God's going to drown them in it. But he's made a way for us to pass through on solid rock, which is Christ. And these waters that threaten to drown us are walled. We're hedged about. You see that? Like Joshua and the ark. We're all going to pass through. Our Lord, because the Lord walked in this world above sin, overcame it for us as our captain of our salvation. Went down in the pit, came out. Went up on the cross, he came down. Went into the grave, he went up. And there he sits, Lord over it all. He said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. The world that threatens to overcome you. And he went through every single trial that every single believer went through. Like that first storm. He was in that ship. All the waves, ups and downs, ins and outs, all those waves, every temptation, not temptation known to man that he hadn't gone through it all. Tempted in all points, like as we are, without sin. What's he doing? Trusting the Lord. Resting the whole time. And he came and they saw him. But they were afraid. Verse 19. They were afraid. Matthew's gospel said they thought they saw a ghost. And here's what he said. And we're afraid of so many things, aren't we? We need to quit looking at what we're looking at and listening to who we're listening to. And look to the Lord. He said, it is I. They thought they saw a ghost. So, no, it is I. Look. Terrorist, no, it is the Lord. Look, cancer. Well, it's the Lord. Look. No, look unto him. It's the Lord. Whatever it is, it is the Lord. I, the Lord, do all these things. Look, death's approaching. Christ is approaching. I see him coming. Look, a dark cloud, the dust of his feet. Look, a hurricane. Oh, he has his way in the storm. In a hurricane, in a whirlwind. Be not afraid. It is I. And then they willingly received him into the ship. Oh, my. Lord, would you please come into our ship. We're here today. Enter into the fellowship of thy sufferings. And we're going through all these troubles, all these trials that you sent us. Lord, we need you. We can't do without you. We're at our wits' end without you. Would you come into this ship and just stay with us? And it was just immediately that they were at land where they went. It was like that. Now it's over. It's over. They made it. As bad as that storm was as calm as calm was. This is the calm after the storm. See, he puts us in the storm to appreciate the calm. He puts us through all this trouble to bring us to a land with no more trouble. And only those can appreciate that. Only those can appreciate him, knowing he's the one that brought me through this. He's the one. The only reason I'm here in a land of glory because he put himself through trouble. And he puts us through it on purpose. Okay. Now, John, you come.